Take your Bible if you have one. Find, if you would, Matthew chapter 7. If you not have a Bible, you can feel free to open up the bulletin. I did put the passage in the bulletin this morning. And I'm excited to preach the message to you today. I need to begin by asking you if you'd be so kind as to give me your concentrated attention this morning. You always do. But I'm burdened today, and I've asked God to enable me to preach with power and authority. I've been watching the news, as you have, and there's been kind of a, I don't know if you call it a phase or something, that's kind of captivating our nation right now. There's been a man giving away money. Have you seen this? And he kind of tweets out a direction, and somehow they're getting it on their phone, and people are showing up, and they're finding money hidden. I think it started in San Francisco. A lot of things start in San Francisco, and then it spread through our country. And I saw in the news the other day where it's in Chicago, it's been in Florida, and so on and so forth. And people are excited, and they're rushing, and they're finding money taped to certain things and so on and so forth. And I guess if somebody sent me something and said I'd find money taped somewhere, I'd get right in line and go do it as well. And maybe even be a little unchristian about getting there. But I have a message today that I believe will help you way more than finding cash. It'll help you for your eternal life. And I want you to listen with the same intensity that these folks are listening to today. We've come to a position in the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 7 where the Lord Jesus is making a transition in this message. And the Lord Jesus has been preaching with all his heart, and he's been pleading and compassionately teaching the folks and tenderly preaching and preaching with power. Yea, God's power, he is God. And last week, we went to verse number 12, and we talked about something called the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule is a statement that has been praised throughout the ages since Jesus made it, even prior to that. Find it in the law and find it in the documents, in the writings in Old Testament times, non-biblical writings even. And it said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even as to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus has been teaching for a couple of chapters, and he makes a summation with the Golden Rule. And what he does is he exalts goodness. He exalts righteous goodness. Most people treat somebody a certain way so we don't suffer a repercussion. You tell your kids, don't bite them. Do you want them to bite you? Don't say that about them because you don't want them to say that about you. Don't kick them because you don't want them to kick you. And the Golden Rule kind of got switched a little bit, and the goodness was off of a thought of a repercussion and self-preservation. I don't want you to treat me bad, therefore I'm going to treat you good. But when Jesus gave the Golden Rule, he didn't give it from a negative point of view. He gave it from the positive. And he said, irregardless of how you are affected, treat others the way that you would have them treat you, as far as you make the initial treatment of love, not in a self-preservating way, but in a way that you love yourself, you are to treat others. And he said, this is the law and the prophets. And we went all the way back to the Ten Commandments, and we said, even in the Ten Commandments, you can divide the two. And Jesus said, the greatest law is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, upon these two commandments hang the whole law. And so Jesus takes the Golden Rule, and he exalts a goodness that really sums up the whole teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus has been teaching on the Sermon on the Mount about righteousness and goodness not found within a man, within our own self, but righteousness and goodness that is tied to the kingdom of God. And when Jesus is exalting this goodness, he's also annihilating another goodness. He is exalting righteous goodness, and he's annihilating human goodness. And what he was saying is, it is impossible to do what I'm preaching for you to do apart from the power of God within you, apart from my life in you, apart from being saved. Nobody can go out and do the Sermon on the Mount in and of their own ability and have it perfected. A lot of people think, well, I'll just keep the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord will be pleased with me. Let me tell you something. God's pleased with faith and faith alone. Amen. He's not pleased with our doing. And so a lot of times people were looking at the Sermon on the Mount as a way to do works to be saved. And Jesus, even though he's exalting goodness, he's exalting goodness and righteousness that Jesus Christ brings to our life. And he's annihilating human and self goodness. And so he has summed up all of his teaching. And he's saying, now, this is the righteousness of the kingdom. This is the characteristics of the kingdom of God. This is how the citizen of the kingdom of God will act. And oh yeah, by the way, that's impossible without me. Boy, our world sure doesn't understand that. Our world tries to be religious and they try to be Christianized and they try to do right apart from the righteousness that Jesus Christ brings. And so what the golden rule did was it lifted all of our eyes to the fact that we need Jesus Christ, that he is the only source of goodness in this world. You know, I'm finding it's not hard to get people saved. It's hard to get people lost. Everybody thinks they are a Christian. Everybody thinks they have some measure of goodness. And so when I ask somebody, do you want to go to heaven? Absolutely. Do you want to have eternal life? Absolutely. Do you admit that you're a sinner? No way in the world am I a sinner. And it's the hard part is getting us to see that we were lost. And even some of you in this room, you might remember before you got saved, you never dreamed that you were in a position of lostness, in a position of sinfulness, until God opened up your eyes. Well, the Sermon on the Mount was designed to open up our eyes to the need of Jesus Christ. And by the way, all men and women need him. And now that Christ has exalted righteousness, and he has annihilated human goodness, and he's been teaching on the righteousness of the kingdom, he transitions in his thought. And he's getting ready from the rest of the message to challenge. And he's getting ready to show them their responsibility. And he's saying, I've preached this message as to the righteousness. Now I want you to understand that you have a responsibility toward what I have preached. And when we go through verses 13 all the way to the end of the chapter, I won't get there today, I only get 13 and 14 today, he evidences their responsibility through choice. And he's going to take and give them four choices of two. And he's going to show them their responsibility to choose the right way. Today we have a choice of two roads. Verses 15 down to verse 23, there's going to be a choice of two trees. 23 to 27, there's going to be a choice of two foundations. 28 to 29, there's going to be a choice of two teachers. And so Jesus now is emphasizing responsibility. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. Verse 13, chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. The very first word of that verse is what, class? Enter. You ought to underline it, highlight it, circle it. That word is vital to our understanding today for this message. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto what, class? Life. And few there be that find it. Many find the wide way, few find the narrow way. And so what the Lord is doing is he is driving home now what began with teaching his disciples. And if you read in Matthew 7 and in Luke, a multitude now has formed. And he's teaching these people, and he's teaching them like nobody has ever taught them before. And he's exalted righteousness. He's annihilated human goodness. He's defined what the citizen and characteristics of the kingdom. He showed them the blessing of the Father. He showed them how good God is. He showed them how Christ, how that their lives can be transformed. And now he says, you have a responsibility. And the responsibility that they have is the responsibility to enter. To enter where? To enter into the kingdom of God. See, most people have this understanding that if they do the Sermon on the Mount, they somehow think, well, if I just obey this way and I do good deeds, somehow I'm going to be saved. And if I can get myself on the narrow road, then I'll just walk the straight and narrow path. Salvation has nothing to do with you walking the straight and narrow path. Sometimes people misunderstand this and they think, well, I'll walk the path. And then if I fall off the path, I got to get back on the path. If I walk the path and I fall off the path, I lose my salvation and I get back on. This passage is not teaching that you can lose your salvation. What Jesus is doing here is what a pastor does all the time. You preach about how great God is. You preach about how wonderful his love is. You preach about the wonderful salvation. You preach about the blessing of being in him. You preach about the freedom in Christ. And then you stand before a group of people and you say, all of that set aside, all of us have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said the responsibility is to enter in. He defines their choice by two roads here. You have a wide road in verse 13, and you have a narrow road in verse 14. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. There's a wide gate that leads to a broad way, and the broad way leads to, say that word, class, destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. In verse number 14, there is a narrow way. The narrow way, if you look at that, leads unto life. And few there be that find that. So Jesus is presenting two roads. And really, truthfully, the importance of understanding these two roads is vital. And one is broad and one is narrow. I could define them this way. One is a road that leads to hell, and the other is a road that leads to heaven. And Jesus says, your responsibility is to get on the right road. If you notice in verse number 13, the Bible says that we are to enter in at the what gate, class? If you read verse 13 and you read verse 14 very carefully, you will never find Jesus saying, enter in the wide gate. That's interesting. Nowhere are we told to enter in the wide gate. We're told to enter in at the straight gate. But we're told at the end of verse number 13 that many are going through the wide gate and they're on the wide road. In verse number 14, we are find that only a few will enter into the straight gate. Now, I need you to think a moment. You don't come here not to think. If Jesus is telling a group of unsaved people that they need to enter in the straight gate, and there are only two roads, that must mean that those people are already on what road? See, most people, when it comes to God, they think that there is two roads before them to choose a road. And so I can choose the road my mom and dad were on. I can go out and search all these different ways, and I will choose what road I am going to go on when I am ready to make up my mind. When I've done my investigation, when I think whatever one is right, then I'm going to make a choice of which road I am going to go. And we look at ourselves as being independently on our own path, and we're going to make a choice of which road to go. But that's not what Jesus was teaching. Jesus was teaching there's no such thing as an independent road. There are only two roads. One is wide and one is narrow. And when you were born from your mother, you were born on the wide road. See, John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the Bible says that that Jesus did not come to condemn us. Most people feel like all Jesus Christ is some kind of condemner of their behavior. No, Jesus didn't come to condemn us. Jesus came because we are condemned already. So we look at ourselves like I've got two roads. Well, I know this righteous road over here. If I go over here, Jesus will be pleased with me. If I go over here, he's going to condemn me. No, no. You and I are already on the condemned road when we were born in sinfulness. Very different to our thinking today. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's placing them in their position of responsibility. I want to define the broad road. I call it the road to hell. I would never embarrass you. I would never offend you. I would never hurt you with that. So I will use myself as an example. But I will tell you this. I was born on the road to hell. And I am a pretty good guy. I could list my accomplishments of goodness. So could you. I never did A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Put whatever you want in there. I've been free from some of the things. You could look at my life and say, that boy grew up a sheltered life. He didn't know certain things. And you could look and say, he's a pretty good boy. But I have a wicked heart. I know my face is so pleasant, you probably wouldn't understand that. But I have a wicked heart. And I was born on the broad road. I was born on a road that led to hell. We find as we grow that the broad road, according to the scripture here, is a popular road. It's a wide road. It has to be wide because there's a lot of traffic on the broad road. They widen our roads when traffic gets overbearing. And so they make room. Jesus is looking at this group of people and he's saying, there is a wide road because there are a lot of people on this path. The broad road is a path that is very attractive. The broad road is a road that is attractive to my flesh. I was born a fleshly driven person. So were you. Nobody had to teach me how to do things that felt good to my flesh. I just learned them. I searched them out. I discovered them. My dad never sat me down and said, Tommy, today I'm going to teach you how to lie. But I was a good liar. I hate when my kids hear about these things, but I was a good liar. My dad never had to sit down and say, Tommy, today I'm going to teach you how to lust. But I was good at it. My dad never handed me anything filthy. But I found it. My dad never sat me down and said, now when you get mad, this is how you line those cuss words up. You start with God. Then you damn him. And then you go on. My dad never taught me how to do that. But I could line them up. And I wasn't in the military. I was born on the broad road. And I found that the broad road is a road that is directed by Satan himself. It's a road that he has designed to satisfy my flesh. That sinfulness of humanity. The broad road offered me pleasure. It offered me promotion. It offered me possessions. It offered me power. It offered me certain things. It had delights and fancies and vices and things that no other road had. It was a road, though, that much like you, it's kind of Madison Avenue at the beginning, but it didn't take long to realize that this road was all show and no truth. I found out real quick that the director of the road was one that hated God. It was one that wanted revenge against God, one that was out for ruin and damnation. And I found out that even though it was a bright light marquee Madison Avenue kind of approach, and there was a lot of laughing, there was really no joy. I found out that my flesh was enjoying pleasure, but there really wasn't any lasting pleasure. I began to find out that I was really a pawn. And here's what the devil would do to me on my broad road. He knew that I would be decreasing and diminishing in my delights. And so he was constantly upping my dosage. Any alcoholic in the room will know that the broad road feels good. One drink satisfies. Pretty soon the dosage doesn't do as much, so we need a 6-pack. Now we need a 12-pack. Now we need a 24-pack. Now we need a bottle. Now we need a flask. Now we need days. Now we need weeks. And we found that as we begin to go through the sinful road of our lives, that all that the devil tried to clamor with us, it did have pleasure for a season, but it would diminish. And when it would diminish, the devil would say, "Give them more, give them more, give it to them." So every chain smoker, every drug addict, every sexual addict, every pleasure seeker knows that when you're on the broad road, there is a diminishing. And what the devil does is he just increases the dosage so we don't get turned to the truth. I found that real joy is only knowing God. Amen. I wasn't on the road long when I began to realize that the broad path, even though it starts out wide, it ends up getting very narrow. And yeah, it's a party at the beginning and all of our friends are there, but friends begin to die. The body begins to wilt under sin and under the abuse. Old age creeps in, handicaps, limitations, ill health, our faculties begin to fail. And I find that the way grows increasingly lonely and frightening. And then at the end of the broad way, in verse number 13, the Bible says that the broad way leadeth to destruction. And right before a person gets to destruction, they have the horrifying thought that Jesus Christ was right. And my friend, let me tell you something. He is right all the time. Jesus is looking out over this congregation and he's saying, "You're on the broad road. It's wide, it's popular, satisfying. But it ends in destruction." He says, "Now your responsibility is to enter into the narrow road." Let's call the narrow road the road to heaven. The road to heaven is not very attractive at the beginning. There's no lights of Madison Avenue. There's no promises of self-pleasure. There's no promises of a Disney World mentality. It's called a straight gate. It's called a narrow gate. There's no giant posters offering material benefits, physical well-being. No promise of escape from peril, persecution, famine, or sword. No promises that you're going to have your best life now. But there is a promise in verse 14. Would you read it with me? "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto what, class? Unto life. You see, the promise of the broad way is the promise of destruction. The promise of the narrow way is the promise of life. And Jesus is saying it is our responsibility to be on the right road. Enter. Now, Pastor, how do I get on the right road? Well, I'll make you this promise. It's not easy. Here's what's really hurt Christianity. What really has hurt Christianity is we have from pulpits like, not this one, but like this one, we have preached that it's easy to become a Christian. And I got news for you. It's not easy to become a Christian. If you were to go to Luke chapter, I think it's Luke 13, don't turn there, but Jesus, in Luke's account, when Jesus is preaching this message, he says that you have to strive to enter in the gate. We have taught people that being saved is just something they can do. Let me tell you something. Salvation has nothing to do with you but all of God. We have taught people that they can just decide to be a Christian. No. We have taught people that they can be saved by worshiping nature. No. We've taught people that they can be saved because they're religious. That's not true. We've taught people that they could be moral. That's not true. We've taught people that they can have a righteous or proper thinking. And that's not true. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to Father but by, say it class, but by me. And he's warning them, you're on the broad road. It leads to destruction. You need to be on the narrow road. It leads to life. You have a responsibility to enter in the straight gate. When Jesus says in verse number 13 to enter in the straight gate, he's saying you have to enter in through him. It's not merely enough, class, to listen to preaching. It's not nearly enough for you to come to church. It's not nearly enough for you just to be a church member. It's not nearly enough for you to even love God, think about God, try to obey God. It's not nearly enough for you to be religious. If you're going to be on the narrow road, you must come through the narrow gate. You have to come through Jesus Christ. Having said that, you have to make a decision. It is a personal decision as to what you're going to do. Salvation is by faith. So entering in the straight gate, the narrow gate, means there's just barely enough room to pass through. So I have to humble myself. I have to understand that I'm a sinner. I have to understand that I'm guilty of hell. I have to understand that I deserve that judgment. I have to understand there's no goodness in me. That's what Jesus did. He exalted his goodness. He annihilated man's goodness. And I stand before God naked and guilty and ashamed. And I stand before God recognizing I'm on the broad road. I'm headed down this path. I am in trouble. But hallelujah, when there was no way, God made a way. And he says, you've got to enter in on that narrow road. He told Nicodemus, you have to be born again. That's the way. Salvation is by faith. I want to ask, the reason most people think it's kind of unnecessary to make a decision for Christ is because we already think we're Christians. Listen, the only person who's a Christian is somebody that's been saved. Have you been on the express lanes of 595? It's kind of fun. It's kind of terrorizing getting over there, but it is kind of fun. They're putting up express lanes all over our city. An express lane is designed to move traffic from one point to another point. And they're not really, they're not, they don't give you a lot of options. It's kind of a narrow way. If you get on the express lane at headed to Miami, you can get off at a couple of main highways and you can get off for the airport. If you get on the express lanes at 595, you can get off to get on one of the major roads. Otherwise, you're riding it to the very end. There's some application there. You see, when I was born on the Broadway, it is a way that has very few exits. But there is, when the broad road and the narrow road, they do intersect at an exit. And the exit is the cross of Jesus Christ. So listen to your pastor. When I'm going down those express lanes, I've only got a couple of options. If I miss that exit to the airport, I got to ride that stinking thing all the way down till it ends, and I got to make a U-turn and I got to come back. In your life, God will give you moments. He will allow your life to intersect with Calvary. He will find you on that broad road. He will find you when you don't want to be found. He will find you when you think nothing is wrong. He will find you when your flesh is just satisfied beyond measure. And he'll find you. And he'll run across you the cross of Christ. One of the commentators said, there is a road from earth to hell. And there is a road from earth to heaven. But there's no road from hell to heaven. So I was on the road to hell, but God loved me. And God allowed me to hear the gospel. There was my exit. And it's a long way to the narrow road. It's a way that Jesus had to prepare. And I may not get him on the first time, but he'll give me an exit and I can get off. But the only exit off the broad road is Jesus Christ. And you have a responsibility to get off the exit. Or you're going to ride the whole way. You think it's dangerous to make a U-turn in Miami. You ride the broad way to the path of destruction. And my friend, let me tell you something. Hell is not a place you want to be. People think that somehow they're going to be able to survive hell. Have you ever read about what hell is like? Do you understand that the coolest flame known to man is the blue flame? When you flick a lighter, a blue flame. When you scratch a match, do you understand it's a blue flame? Do you know hell has a black flame? It's the hottest flame known to man. Do you understand there's no light in hell? No light. Do you understand that the Bible says that there's gnashing of teeth and screaming that absolutely will be demonic and diabolical? Do you understand there will be no place to put your foot, no place to cool your tongue? Do you understand that all you will have is the memory of every one of those exits that you drove by? You will remember every message I ever preached. You will remember every time somebody presented Christ. You will remember the times when your mind was pricked. You will remember the times when you were so close. And you'll say, God, let me make a U-turn and let me come back. And Jesus said, the path goes to destruction. God loves you. And Jesus has got all these people. He's exalted everything. He says, now you got to make a decision. What are you going to do? You're going to get off on the narrow road on the cross of Christ? Or are you going to continue down that broad road? The decision has to be made now. I love my Catholic friends, but they got it wrong. There is no need to pray for somebody who has died. The Bible says the decision of your eternity is not made after you die. It is made before you die. And you have a responsibility. Well, Pastor, I got a lot more exits. I plan on coming to church next Sunday. Take no thought for tomorrow. And by the way, the narrow road, it kind of looks impossible and unattractive at the beginning. But you're going to find opposite of the broad road. The broad road just meets all of self's needs, but then it narrows to be very horrifying. The narrow road starts narrow, but it broadens to be awesome. There's no greater thing in all the world than being a born-again Christian. There's no greater thing to know the road broadens. I know freedom from my sin. I've got self-control. I've got temperance. I've got love and mercy and patience and kindness. I've got friends. I've got a family. I'm growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. There's just this wonderful satisfaction. And I don't need him to increase the dosage so I can somehow make it through. Jesus satisfies you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. That's what Jesus is preaching. He's getting down to the meat and potatoes of the message. And the meat and potatoes of any message is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? So this pastor asked you a question. What road you on? What road you on? And when did you get off of the wide road and come to the narrow road? Pastor, I've never been saved. Then you're on the broad road. You need to come by faith through Jesus Christ to the narrow road. You're always so narrow-minded. Well, I got news for you. The road looks narrow to the flesh, but it is wonderful to the spirit. Have you been saved? Let's pray.